In our series on authentic faith, God also shows us good things to set our attention on. There was a point over these past couple weeks where I felt like I was coming in and I was talking about what not to do, what not to do, what not to do. And I was waiting for this week to come because 8 weeks ago, God put this whole series on my heart and exactly how it was going to fall out in each of the days. And so I knew coming up on how everything was going to play out. And then, of course, God still amazed me by showing me that things that happened throughout the week just happened to be in a sermon that he put in my heart weeks ago. And so it was always amazing to see that happen. But this week's message is more on good things to set our attention on versus things to not set our attention on. And so there's two specific ones that are very important for us to set our attention on. And the first one is in James 5, 7 through 9. And it says, so wait patiently. Wait patiently. We, in this world that we live in, and I don't know if it's always been like this, but I'm only so old, so I can go based on my age. I imagine if you go back further, people would still say the same thing. But we're in an age where we want everything now. We want it our way. We want it in the next 2 minutes. And so what's going to get us what we want the fastest and in our way? But God doesn't operate that way. Over the past several months, going through Scripture, we've pointed out over and over and over again that God sees our entire lifespan all at once. So He knows everything that we're going to go through and how it's going to affect us and how it's going to affect people around us. He knows everything that our relatives are going to go through, everything that our friends are going to go to. And last Wednesday, one of our people that was here for our Bible study pointed out how in her life, she could see God working in certain ways. But there was a particular instance that happened in her life that showed her that God wasn't only adjusting things in how her life was going, but He was adjusting things in her life that were affecting other people as well. And so she got, without sharing her whole story, she got to experience where God blessed her by putting a specific person in her life for a specific situation. And in turn, that blessing blessed her neighbor at the same time. And she got to witness how God not only worked in her life in that one specific instance, but also affected somebody else's life in that same instance. And so when we wait patiently on the Lord, like Scripture tells us over and over and over again, to wait patiently on God's timing, it becomes easier for us to trust God and wait on His timing when we understand that He has been planning out long before we even were born all the steps that needed to happen for not only our life to work around to our prosperity, our success, all the good things that God wants in our life, but also through those same instances, He's also working in other people's lives. He's using us to bless somebody else. He's blessing us and the person across town through the same situation at the same time. God is orchestrating so many things at the same point that maybe it was a little bit longer than we wanted to wait, but because of the blessing that's going to happen, that's going to cross a whole town, it was worth the wait. So wait patiently, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You know, when I was growing up, my parents had a little garden, and it was a chore to weed it. It was a chore to remember to go out and water it. And it seemed like all but 1 year, it pretty much died off. Occasionally, we get a couple carrots, and that was about it. But 1 year, we set a timer up on it that always turned on and always turned off at the right time. And so we went on vacation. We set the timer up, and when we came back, the garden had just blossomed. That was the extent of my understanding of farmers and growing food and the harvest. But a few years ago, my wife's cousin started introducing us to what is involved in gardening and farming. And it's still in small scale, but it's much grander than anything that I've ever experienced. And so when I read through Scripture and it talks about farming and the harvest and waiting expectantly on the rains and all the steps that need to happen while we're waiting patiently for this fruit to grow, for these vegetables to grow, for these beautiful plants to grow, I think about all that goes into that one specific garden. Certain times of the year, this is always when it has to happen. Okay, now the seeds have to be planted. Okay, now they have to be watered. They have to go in the grow lights. They have to go in a certain space so that they get the optimum nutrients or light or whatever they need. I don't understand all of it, but I know that there is a process that's wrapped around it in order to make it the most fruitful. And so knowing that, and knowing that God is constantly referring to how things grow, to show us how we're growing, it makes me realize that the process that God is leading us through has a much bigger significance than just the end result that we want to get to in the next 2 minutes. Verse 8 says, "You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, keep them energized and firmly committed to God, because the coming of the Lord is near." It's the second time we've heard about the coming of the Lord. For most of you, you know that that is the rapture, when God is returning in the clouds with the angel armies and He's calling everyone up to Him. But do you know that Scripture says that every single person we'll see God face to face? Do you know that Scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord? Do you know that when we take our last breath, we will see Jesus Christ, whether we believe in Him or not? When we think about the coming of the Lord, and we think about how many years ago these words were wrote in Scripture and were delivered to these people, and we think, well, all these thousands of years have gone by and the rapture hasn't happened yet, so maybe it's not going to happen in my time. Scripture warns us not to think like that and not to plan our lives like that. But part of what Scripture points out when it says don't think like this and don't plan your life like this is that whether you see the rapture while you're still alive or not, the day is approaching when you're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. The coming of the Lord is near for every one of us. Verse 9 says, "Do not complain against one another, believers, so that you will not be judged for it. Look, the judge is standing right at the door. Do not speak against anyone in need of restoring, especially if you are still in need of restoring yourself. Jesus stands watching to see who's humble and gentle and who's haughty and puffed up and critical of others. Jesus said in Scripture, 'He who is without sin cast the first stone.'" And so, as we read through Scripture, we find that Jesus is telling us that He is our leader, He is our example, He is the one that we are to be following. And what steps did He take when He encountered somebody who wasn't living for the Lord? What steps did He take when somebody was being unfaithful or the prodigal son or had followed Him at one point and turned away? And where was Jesus' heart in all of this? Even with hanging on the cross, Jesus still prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They were in the process of killing Him, and He still cared so much about them, still cared so much about us, that He asked for forgiveness in the midst of what was happening. Jesus wants us to follow His lead in how we deal with people, no matter what the situation is that they're going through, no matter where they are in their life right now. He wants us to be following His lead, to love them, to encourage them, to stand by them, to show them the light, to show them the different way, guide them out of the darkness. There's so many different references in Scripture that all point to the same thing. James 5:13-16. Is anyone among you suffering? He must pray. Is anyone joyful? He is to sing praises to God. Whether you're sick, broken, or in pain, or floating on cloud nine, God's word says we are to set our hearts and minds on communicating it all with God. Speak to Him with your requests. Speak to Him with your heartache. Speak to Him with your pain and your anger. Speak to Him with your fear. God gave us all these emotions, all these different ways that the world around us was going to affect us and how we were going to feel in those situations. And He tells us to call out to Him. He wants to hear what's in your heart. Even though He knows all about it and knew it was coming, He still wants that communication with us. Think about it like this. You're at a family gathering, and there's this little kid that's wandering around and seems to be alone. And you know that the parent or the guardian or whoever's taking care of this child is at this gathering somewhere. And you know that everybody knows who this person is, and so they're safe. So you're not concerned about their safety. But as you watch them wandering around, you notice that there's something that's going on in this little kid that makes you feel like they need somebody to talk to in that moment. And so you stop. And you just start a general conversation with this little kid. And then this little kid starts sharing with you some of the brokenness that's going on in its life, and in his or her life. And then starts talking to you about all kinds of things that you wouldn't expect a little kid to even know about. Where does your heart go in all this? You want to sit and listen to this little kid and let this little kid let out whatever's in their life and whatever they've been holding on to. You want them to have that opportunity. And you know in yourself, you're not gathering information to go gossip or to go wreck somebody's life. You're just giving this child the opportunity to release what they've been holding. Why does God want us to speak to Him? Because we're that little child. We're the ones that are wandering around lost. And whatever it is that we're going through in life, He wants us to come to Him and release that, because He's waiting to take it for us. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And even if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. God is a God of fullness, offering complete regeneration. He's not only going to help you back to your feet, but He's going to give you a fresh new start as well. There was this man, and he grew up much like anybody else, and as he was growing up, he started finding out about how to lead people and what steps to take and leading people in the right place and what steps to take to expand his domain, I guess I'll say. And as he started learning and growing, his territory started expanding. And soon he was leading large groups of people. And soon he was starting to get excited about seeing how much growth was happening in this life or business that he was doing. And as he continued, he started getting a hunger for more and more and more and more. And he kept moving stronger and stronger into different areas to just build more strength and more stuff and more followers. And at one point, he got to a place where he felt like, look at all this that I've done. There is no one that can touch me. I've got all this. I'm in control of everything. I am the God of all of this. First mistake. So now what happens when we think that we're God? God steps back. And so very quickly, things started coming against this man. Very quickly. And within days, everything was gone. His family was gone. His friends were gone. His kingdom was gone. Everything was gone, and he had nothing left. And he spent years wandering around in the wilderness, basically. Lost. All of that I had is gone. In the blink of an eye, I have no idea what just happened. In that wandering, he gave his heart back to God. He recognized that God was real in his life and that he hadn't built all this, but God had entrusted him to take care of it. God had given him an opportunity to lead people. And when he started recognizing who God was and what God was entrusting him with and what God wanted him to do with the stuff that he had given him, the people that he had given him, the land that he had given him, when he recognized who God was in all that and what his place was in all that, God restored him. And almost as quickly as it went away, it came back. When he saw all that happen, he dedicated his heart to God. And no matter what was going on in his life from then on, he knew that God was real because of his experiences. And he wouldn't let that happen again. Verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored." The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. When heartfelt prayers reach the throne of grace, tremendous power is released by God to change natural circumstances. Things that were not possible suddenly become possible. We call this miracles. Things that shouldn't be suddenly become a reality. Sometimes we get going in our life and we head down a wrong path. And when reality hits us, we understand where everything that we've been moving towards is leading our life to. And we realize the mistakes that we've made and the choices that we made and the damage that we've done and where we should be. And when things suddenly go a different direction, when that grace, that mercy take place, and we have what shouldn't be, that's a miracle. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. God is not limited by our mental understandings, and His glory shines brightest when we can't fathom how that just happened. God is a God of miracles. And for some reason, He knows that man, many times, needs to see His hand move in some fashion in order to follow. Two things that we should set deep into our hearts are, one, patience. The beginning of our scriptures today. Patience. Patience with God's timing. Because knowing that He sees everything and has been orchestrating everything together in our lives and the lives of people around us, knowing that we can trust Him to have our best interests in mind because His promise says that His plans are for us, not against us. We can have patience in God's timing because we know He's doing the best for us. Patience with our changes. Sometimes we can get into a place, and I know for myself, I've gotten into this place where I think, why isn't this changing? Why haven't I broken free of this? Why haven't I gotten to this level yet? Why haven't I? If I take that first one, patience in God's timing, and trust in His process, then why haven't I gotten to wherever is still in God's hands? There's a process that He's working me through, and He knows the valleys that I need to go through. He knows the mountains that I need to climb in order for whatever He's working on in me to take deep root in my heart so that that change is permanent. It's not just part-time. And patience with others' growths. Patience with how fast or how slow someone else is growing. Because I'm going through whatever God sees in me, and He's working on whatever situations He's working on in me. And when we read Scripture and we read about sanctification and the process of God making each one of us righteous, we can understand that each one of us is made a certain way, and each one of us has flaws in us that were created by this world and the things that we've experienced in life. And God is working through each one of those things in each one of us in a pattern that He knows is going to be the best for each one of us. And so what He's working on in me may not be what He's working on in six other people that are close to me, because it's not the time for them yet. But for me, it's the time for me to go through this. For them, they're growing in some other area that God knows they need to go through before they go through something else. In our hearts, we need to recognize that God is in control. God is leading people. God is growing people. We need to be patient with people's growth. And the other one, in case you missed it, in our second section of Scripture is prayer. Just so you all know, prayer is communicating with God in every emotion. No matter what it is you're experiencing, He wants to hear about it. He wants to hear your praise. He wants to hear your tears. He doesn't want you to be crying, but He wants to hear from you no matter what you're feeling. Prayer is stepping in to communicate with God for someone else. It's interceding on someone else's behalf. And in the verses that we read, it talked about that. Gathering together the elders and praying for each other and confessing our sins and confessing our shortcomings to each other so that we could pray for each other. Interceding for each other is important. Important enough that God put it in His Word. We need to stand up for the person that's next to us that may not be able to stand at that moment. God says the prayers of a righteous person avail much. The prayers of a righteous person have tremendous power when they're put into effect by God. Interceding for someone else is very important. And sometimes we get into a place where we say, I've tried to talk to this person about everything that I could think of. I've tried to lead them. I've tried to help them. I've tried to give them this. I've tried to give... All I've got left is to pray for them. Well, if we read God's Word, that's where we should have started. And one more section for prayer. Prayer is returning to thank God and receive tools for what comes next. When I first gave my heart to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior and knew that He was real and that He was doing something in my life that I couldn't even wrap my mind around, I was learning about prayer. I was learning to communicate with God, and I believed that He was real, and I believed that He was out there and that He cared about what was going on in my life, and He was helping me through whatever was going on in my life. And so I could pray, and I could believe, and I could pray with an earnest heart. I didn't have that problem, but what I was forgetting all the time is to return and thank God for what I was seeing. Who doesn't like to be thanked for for what they're doing for a person. But moreover than that, is what does that build in our heart when we recognize that I prayed for this, I asked for that, I needed this, I needed protection from whatever. And God was there for me. And so now I'm going to thank God for what He did for me. In our heart, it builds a reverence for who God is in our life and what He's doing. And it changes the way we approach God the next time we're in need or we're scared or we're hurting or whatever. When we know that God moves in our lives and we've recognized that and we've approached Him to thank Him. In that, I mentioned and received tools for what's next. I have a little illustration, not a visual one, but... So, most of you guys know that I do a lot of remodeling and repairing things, and even if I, at times when I've said, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm doing this now, people still call me and say, can you come help me with this, can you come fix this, or whatever. No matter what I think I'm going to be doing, I'm always helping somebody with something that needs fixing. And so, right now I'm helping somebody with a project that they need in their home. And so, part of these steps is they needed a wall belt. So if you've ever done any kind of construction, you'll be able to follow along with me. Or ever seen it done, there's HGTV, so probably every one of you have seen at least a wall be built. So it starts out with 2x4s, but actually it starts out with planning. So you go through the process of figuring out what you're going to do and where it's going to go, and what needs to go into those steps. And then you start putting the 2x4s together. And so to do that, you need the saws and you need nails and you need hammer, or I like to build with screws. So I need a screw gun and I need the screws. And you need a tape measure and a level. And so you have all these tools and you start putting this whole process together and now you're done. The 2x4 structure is in, or the 2x6 structure is in. So now what do you got to do? The next thing is to put in whatever's going inside the wall. So you need the wiring and the outlets and the light switches. And if there's any plumbing, you need the plumbing to go in there. And so in the space that you're working in, if you've ever worked in a house that somebody's living in, there's not a lot of space around for you to just scatter your tools out across the warehouse. So you got to clean up everything that you just finished with. Take it out of the way so that you can bring in the new stuff. It's the same way in our lives. When we're done with a step in our life, God wants us to clean up what's left over. Get it out of the way and start bringing in the supplies, the tools, and the materials for the next step. Until the day that God brings us home, we're not done growing. There's still more that we're going to work on in life. And He will continually show us, step by step, what it is that we're going to be going through, what the next step is. So I listed out 3, just to follow along with this, that are steps that I'm going through, or steps that I have gone through, to clean up my life. And there'll be more. So one of the first ones, when I first started this whole ministry walk, was arrogance. See, I started going to school and I had a couple of businesses and been manager of several businesses. And so I felt like I understood how to lead people and how to get steps done and how to put together processes. And as I was going through ministry school, I read the materials and I studied the materials and I analyzed how they lined up with business and so that I could wrap my mind around them. And so I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of what I was supposed to be doing. And in going through ministry school, one of the steps is you have to have a mentor. You have to do internships. You have to work in underneath somebody who's actually been doing it for a while. You have to get your hands wet. And so I had a mentor. And you know, this mentor was really really interested in helping me, to the point where he created a position and a title in the church that didn't have this position or this title so that I could be a part of the pastoral team in this church as I was going through these steps. And that arrogance kept getting in the way. Because he's taken all these steps to make these opportunities for me to be able to get my hands wet and learn and see how things play out and see how people actually grow and how people actually change and what things will help a person and what things will cause a person to walk out the door. And he's creating all these opportunities for me. And here I'm relying on my history of business and my understanding of the books that I just read and not giving him the credit of all the hours and all the days and all the years that he's put in. And I'm constantly pointing to my books and saying, you're doing it wrong. And we shouldn't do it this way. And we got to do it this way. And see, here it says this. And that arrogance kept getting in the way. And sometimes through that process, it got so bad that he had to remove me from that position so that I wasn't affecting the other people in the church. But he never gave up on me. He continually called me back and kept talking to me about, look, we got to go through it like this because this is what happens if we don't. And he'd give me another shot, just like Scripture talks about, just like the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians where he says, you got to remove it because it's going to hurt the church. And then in 2 Corinthians, he says, it's been long enough. Go and bring him back. It's the same thing. But so, arrogance took about 4 years for it to start breaking in my life. The next one that came right behind arrogance wasn't even done yet completely, was, believe it or not, for a quiet person, it was listening. I'm not one of the kind of people, not typically one of the kind of people that listens to somebody talk and constantly is finishing their sentences for them. I'm not one of those kind of people, but what I am and what I had to work through is while you were talking to me, I was coming up with the answer that I was going to say to you before you were done talking and I wasn't listening to the rest of it. I was missing information, and so when I would give you my answer to whatever you were talking about, I missed whole sections of what you were talking about. And my answer was not relevant because I was not listening. God has been working through me on arrogance and listening, and both of those things are getting better. And then there's another one that came in recently. That's always been an issue for me, but through my sanctification process, this is the one that God says, okay, now it's time for us to start working on this one. And this is how it works in our lives. We're not necessarily done with one thing. We're getting better on it. And then God says, okay, we're going to work on this now too. So the next one is selfishness. So now you have a pastor that's standing up here in front of you. And I've gone to school and I've been leading the church and I've been working in churches for a few years now. And I just told you that I have issues with being arrogant, issues with not listening to people, and issues with being selfish. And so hopefully you can accept that I am a person and I have flaws, but that I do want to relay God's word to you so that you understand that no matter who we are or where we are in life, that he's still working on our lives and he wants us to be with him. He gives us each different skills and asks us to do things for his kingdom and for his children based on where he's positioned us in life. And it just so happens that at this point in my life, this is where he's put me. So selfishness, how this works for me is I continually think, where am I going? What's the path that God's got me on? Where am I now? Where am I going in the future? Where am I? Instead of being content with, God's got me right here, right now. And there's plenty of stuff going on right here, right now. Be happy and be content and do the work that he's got for me right here, right now. Instead of thinking, where am I going from here? What's my direction? What's my plan from here? What do I need to do? Okay, in order to get to this place that I've already planned out, these are my steps. Now I need to do these things, right? That's the way you plan out your day, right? You figure out what you're going to do, or we talked about construction. You figure out what you're going to do, and then you plan out the steps that it's going to happen, and then you start doing it. So it's logical, right? But it's focused on me. It's not focused on what God's doing at the time. And how can I get what I want? Well, we started out today by saying we want what we want now, and we want it our way. So I don't really feel that I'm alone in this, but it's still not what God wants in our lives. Patience with God, patience with ourselves, patience with other people, prayer and thanksgiving and praying for other people, following God's lead, loving broken, hurting, and even abused people the way that Jesus did when he was here. He gave us examples in his word to follow. And one of the biggest ones is what today is. Today is Palm Sunday. Today represents and reminds us of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where he rode on the donkey and they laid out palms and they laid out their coats and they made the royal carpet for the king to ride into his kingdom. And the whole time, all the people around were thinking, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. The king is finally here. Everything is going to change. All our enemies are going to go away. Everything's going to be perfect. This is it. And in Jesus, he knew, this is it. It's finished. He knew what he was coming for. And it wasn't that momentary time in that kingdom. It wasn't those small group of people that were in that time of life. It was for all mankind. He knew that he was coming for a much bigger picture than that ride into the kingdom. These palms, these are available for you to take with you after service. There's regular ones, and then there's crosses that Ariana and I sat up and folded last night. And there's a couple of different styles in there. As we end, we're going to pray over these. Because 4 years ago, God put on my heart that these palms represent a significant part in Jesus' work here. It was the king has finally come, and he's come into his rightful place. And so when we pray over these, I want you to keep in mind somebody who's sick, somebody who's broken, somebody who's beaten down, somebody, keep in mind anybody who needs some kind of encouragement. And when you pick one of these up today, or pick up a dozen of these, whatever it happens to be, I had somebody email me yesterday, they'd like 5 of them, but they're not able to be here today. Whatever it happens to be, however many people come to your mind, pick them up. We're going to pray over them at the end of service, which is now. But I want you to pray over it too, because you know what that person's going through. Pray specifically for that person. Maybe even for a couple of days. Pray intently for that person. And then bring the cross to them. And maybe you'll feel led when you do that to talk to them about Jesus. Maybe you'll feel led to walk them to the cross. Maybe you won't be feel led that way at all. Maybe it'll just be simply letting them know that you care about them and you were thinking about them. And what can God do through that? Letting somebody know that there's somebody out there that cares and is thinking about them. The most important thing in everything we do is to let the Holy Spirit guide us. He knows the right timing, and that's why we need to be patient. So let's pray. As we pray, we'll start praying, and I'd like each of you guys to stretch out your hands towards the palms. Lord God, please speak to our hearts right now. Open our eyes and our minds to who around us needs to be encouraged this week. Lord God, show us what it is that we can do. Show us what words to say. what actions to take, when to do it. Lord God, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your understanding and your wisdom. But most importantly, we know that in us and in the people around us, we need your Holy Spirit helping us, guiding us, comforting us, and protecting us. Lord God, your word says the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide. So help us, Lord God. Guide us and help us to be comfort to people around us. Help us to show and point to where that comes from, even when we don't understand it all. Help us to share our testimony of who God is to us and how much He means in our lives. How much change has happened just because of that little bit of belief that started it all. And Lord God, for each person that receives one of these crosses or one of these palms, whether it be a person sitting here today or a person that's not sitting here today, I ask you, Lord God, to touch their heart. Whatever it is that they're in need of right now, Lord God, help them to see your hand moving in their life. Help them to recognize that you see them. You love them. And you're there to help. Lord God, in everything that we face, hope helps us to keep going. So bring hope. In your mighty name, Lord God, we thank you for this. As each one of us leaves here today, Lord God, please continue to work in our hearts. Please continue to speak your words to each one of us and lead us, Lord God, through these days. I heard it said recently, you want to see God laugh, tell him your plans. And I get it, Lord God. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And so we make plans and we try to line up our life for the greatest success. And all the while, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But you do. So as we go through each day, Lord God, guide our hearts. Guide our words. Grow our hearts, Lord God, to love like you do and to see others like you see them. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank you. Amen.